this Sunday, the first Sunday in November, and on All Saints Day, we gather to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Gathered in the Lord's house on this day, on this All Saints Day this morning. If you're joining us via Facebook Live this morning, we're thankful that you were able to join us for worship with your family and friends this morning. For those that are gathered in sanctuary, thank you for being here, and let's prepare to worship the Lord this morning. Many of our church members, we were unable to have our outside worship service this morning because of the rain again this week, and so we're thankful for the opportunity to worship inside our sanctuary this morning at 11 o'clock. I do want to just update you and remind you that in the coming days, we'll kind of gauge each week by week, of what time our worship services will be. From what it looks like from next Sunday, it's supposed to be a little bit warmer, and so we will continue to have our outside worship service at 9:30 a.m., and then have our worship service inside 11 a.m. The 11 a.m. service will obviously be streamed on Facebook Live. For those, as we move forward from that Sunday, we'll just kind of keep you informed week by week. Obviously, if the weather turns cold, it's coming sometime. We don't know when. It was, again, 75 degrees in the middle of the week and a little bit cooler today. So we never know when that might happen, but we will let you know in advance of what the worship schedule is. When we go strictly to an inside worship service, when the weather finally turns, that inside worship service will be at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. However, as long as we're still doing both, we will continue to have our inside worship service at 11 a.m. I also want to let you know that the coming up this week, we have a couple things going on in the life of our church. Tuesday, we are a polling site for the election. And so this Tuesday, our parking lot will be overflowing with people coming to vote. So what we have done is we have closed the church office for Tuesday. So if you have a need on Tuesday that you need to get in touch with the church, contact myself, contact Gay on our cell phones. But we ask that you do not come to the church on Tuesday unless you're coming to vote. That's the only reason you need to come here, is if you need to vote on Tuesday, because they are expecting large crowds on Tuesday. So be in prayer for the election, but also just a reminder, don't come to the church or even call the church. If you need to get in touch with us, call us on our cell phones. Also, our Wednesday night Bible study this week, we are continuing our study on the book of Judges. It'll be at 6:30 on Wednesday on Facebook Live. This week, we'll be looking at two minor judges, Tola and Jair, and then one larger judge, Jephthah. So I hope you'll join me at 6:30 for our continued Bible study. We've got three more sessions in our Judges Bible study. So I hope you'll join us on Wednesday for that at 6:30 p.m. Next Sunday, and I talked about this last week in the worship service, next Sunday afternoon, we are having our annual community Thanksgiving service. This is when we gather with our fellow churches in Elon and gather together for a time of worship. Obviously, with COVID going on, we had to do this a little bit different. So our community worship service this year will be at 2 o'clock this coming Sunday on November 8th. And it'll be at First United Methodist Church of Elon. It will be a drive-in worship service. It will be outside. We're praying that the weather cooperates. If it happens to rain, that'll be strictly a virtual service with no attendance. But we're praying that the weather is good next Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. for this time of worship together in our community. Pastor Steve Raven from Shallowford Christian Church will be preaching the sermon at our community Thanksgiving service this year. We also will be collecting the canned food offering for the Salvation Army. So if you want to come next Sunday at 2 o'clock at First United Methodist Church of Elon, bring your lawn chair like you've done here for our worship services outside. It'll also be on the radio in the parking lot like we do here as well. So we encourage you to come out and worship with our fellow Elon churches on next Sunday at 2 p.m. Last but not least, Sunday, November 15th, two Sundays from now, we will be observing communion again. And like we did in our past, we will be distributing the elements in advance for those worship services. And on November 15th, whether we're outside or inside or both, we will have the elements here on site when you come. However, if you know you're watching on November 15th via Facebook Live, we want you to come by the church that week before, and we will distribute those elements. You can come anytime from 8:30 to 4 p.m. That week, and we'll go ahead and give you the elements so you could observe it during our worship service time on that Sunday. But that is November 15th. Also that Sunday, assuming the weather is nice outside, we're praying that it will be, and we have our drive-in worship service, we will have a special call business meeting at the end of the outside service. That'll be at 10:30. So for those that are wanting to come to our inside service, just come at 10:30 for the special call business meeting, and then you can transition down here for our worship time. But at 10:30 on that Sunday, right after the outside worship service, there'll be a special call business meeting. The only thing we're really voting on is adding a line item in our budget, in our special funds listing for the parking lot project that we have coming up. So we have to vote on that as a church, and so that'll be voted on the 15th. We also will be presenting the names of the ad hoc committee that'll be working on the parking lot and doing fundraising things and stewardship efforts towards that. So we'll be presenting those names at that roundtable meeting. But that'll be Sunday, November 15th at 10:30, immediately after the outside worship time. We are gathered here to worship. While it's raining outside, I think it's going to hopefully be going away by the time this worship service is over, but we pray that it's a time of warmth of gathering this morning in the Lord's house. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship and sing together.
Our first hymn this morning is As the Deer, and you'll see the words up on the screen. Let's stand and worship together.
this morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 107, reading verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. As we reflect on what God does in our lives on a daily basis, and he leads us on a path that he has set before us to a location where he is present constantly, let us go to the Lord in prayer, giving thanks for his presence with us this day. God, our guide and our protector, as we gather together in your presence this day, open our minds and our souls and our hearts to you, that we may be inclined to hear the gentle direction. Help us follow you as you lead us to the land you have created for us, where we may dwell with you and in you forever. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn we're going to sing today is "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Let's stand and let's worship together.
Many years ago, the Christian Church set aside November 1st on the Christian calendar to remember those Christians who had passed on, recognizing their presence with God in eternity. Today, on All Saints Day, we give thanks to God for those Christians, special Christians, who we all see as saints in our lives who have passed on, and also for all souls who have departed this life in faith and love, many of whom remain especially dear to our hearts. Scripture reassures us of the eternal home where those saints reside today, worshiping our Lord. Reading from Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away their tears from their eyes." This morning, we remember those saints from our congregation that have passed away this past year. As we share their names, we will have a moment of silence for each one as a candle is lit in their honor. Carla Roberts Brandenburg. Larry Huffines. Harvey Summers. Margaret Miller. James Weatherford. Betty Ryan. Doris Maney. Codell Maney. Marilyn Galey. We also remember those in our lives, family and friends, who have passed away this past year. As we light this center candle, let us remember those names in our thoughts during this moment of silence. Let's pray. Living God, in whom there is no shadow or change, we thank you for the gift of life eternal, and for all those who, having served you well, now rest from their labors. We thank you for all the saints remembered and forgotten, for those dear souls most precious to us. Today we give thanks for those who during the last 12 months have died and entered into your glory. Carla, Larry, Harvey, Margaret, James, Betty, Doris, Codell, Marilyn, and for those in our lives, family and friends who have passed away. We bless you for their life and love, and rejoice for them all is well and all manner of things will be well. Heavenly Father, mindful of all those choice souls who have gone on ahead of us, teach us and each 21st century disciple of every race and every place to follow their example to the best of our ability, to feed the poor in body and spirit, to support and comfort the mourners and the repentant, to encourage the meek and stand with them in crisis, to affirm those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, to cherish and learn from the merciful, to be humbled by and stand with the peacemakers. Let us clearly recognize what it means to be called the children of God, and to know we are to be your saints neither by our own inclination nor in our own strength, but simply by the call and the healing holiness of Christ Jesus, our Savior. And all God's people said, Amen. As we gather on All Saints Day to remember those within our church and those family and friends, we also are reminded that they have done and lived a life well for the Lord, and we're called to do the same thing. As many of you have brought offerings this morning, I did want to let some church members know, those who are watching on Facebook Live this day, that someone asked me this week, well, what do we do if we don't have the outside worship service and we're not coming in person when it comes to offering? You can simply swing by the church during the week and drop it off with Janice, myself, or Gabe. Or you can mail it, put it in the mail if you would feel that's a little bit more safer. And mail it to the church at P.O. Box 778 at Elon 27244. Many have asked that over the last couple of weeks when they haven't been able to attend in person. I did want to let you know that. Our offerings this day go beyond just simply what we place in the place, but it reminds us of the ministry that this church provides and will do not just within these walls, but in our community. So we're thankful for those that have brought offerings this day. We're thankful for the offerings that will come into the future. Let us go to the Lord in prayer again this morning, lifting up those gifts that we've given to Him today. Loving Father, we humbly dedicate these tithes and offerings to your use. Like the saints who have gone before us, we are comforted by the knowledge that you will multiply these gifts. Allow this offering this day to become a resource that lifts the shadows of despair from the recesses of people's lives. We recognize that only you can restore faith to the faithless, hope to the hopeless, and love to the loveless. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On this All Saints Day, we pray. Amen. wonderful time of special music. I hope you reflected on the words as they played. Even though we weren't singing, the words are powerful. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we gather at this time to read and dive into your word, we just ask that your Spirit speaks to us in ways that maybe that we weren't anticipating this day. We know that we've come here to worship and to give you our all, but now we give you our minds and our hearts and our souls to develop your word and what you would have us learn from that. Father, we lift this time up to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to say good morning to First Baptist Elon, for those that are with us in person and those that are watching via Facebook Live this day, for those that are listening on CD Ministry or our website a little bit later on, we thank you for joining us. If you are listening via our website or CD Ministry, we hope you have been blessed by our music and our worship this morning. Thank you, ladies, for giving your talents and your gifts this morning and singing and leading us in worship this day. Last week, I began a 3-week sermon series titled Unity Through Diversity. In last week's sermon, I shared a different perspective in looking at the division in our world. Instead of looking at the world with our limited human eyes, I challenged you, if we can look at the world with the eyes of God, we can see the beautiful diversity that He intended from the very beginning. Whether cultural, racial, political, or social, the unique diversity that God created, each one of us special and unique, is made in the image of God. In His image, we are united through Him. United through Him and nothing else. This week, we look at a second sermon in this sermon series, and we look at a second characteristic that is essential to achieving unity through diversity. And that is moving past the labels of us and them. As I begin, I want to share a few words from a Christian author, Philip Yancey. Many of you have probably read some of Yancey's books. He's written many. But I want to share some words that he shared in an article in Christianity Today in 2008. And I'm going to say it's a kind of a long section. But I think the words are essential for us to understand and believe and dive into this morning as we think about getting past the us and them. He says this, As I read accounts of the New Testament church, no characteristic stands out more sharply than diversity. Beginning with Pentecost, the Christian church dismantled the barriers of gender, race, and social class that had marked Jewish congregations. Paul, who was an early rabbi, had given thanks daily that he was not born a woman, a slave, or a Gentile, but he marveled over this radical change in his life. He said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Yancey goes on to share, "One modern Indian pastor told me, most of what happens in the Christian church, including even miracles, can be duplicated in Hindu and Muslim congregations. But in my area, only Christians strive, however, ineptly, to mix men and women of different castes, race, and social groups." He said, that's the real miracle. Yancey goes on to say, "Diversity complicates rather than simplifies life. Perhaps for this reason, we often tend to surround ourselves with people of similar age, economic class, and opinion. However, the church offers a place where infants and grandparents, unemployed and executives, immigrants, and blue bloods can come together." I think Yancey has hit the nail on the head, as many would say, talking about diversity and the need for unity in this world. powerful words about diversity within our world and in the church, and unity that Christ can bring through the Christian church and its followers. To achieve this unity, both inside the church walls and outside the church walls, we as Christians must move past the labels of today, to stop identifying the differences that make us up. Instead, we allow Christ to be our unifying factor, setting our gaze on Him, looking beyond the us and them. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn to the passage that Yancey actually refers to in this quote, which is found in Paul's letter to the church of Galatia. This morning, we'll be looking at the expanded passage, not just the one verse that he referenced, but the expanded passage from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now, I'm going to go ahead and confess something. I think I actually preached on this passage a little bit earlier in the year. But the words are so powerful and meaningful that they're essential to grasping unity in the midst of diversity. As you turn to these verses, Paul has been speaking on the whole course of human history, from the promise to Abraham, through the giving of the law, and to the coming of Christ. Paul shares how, quote unquote, the law was given to Abraham as a sign of this promise, a covenant between him and Abraham's descendants. However, the law was limited. The law was creating barriers for many, especially the Gentiles. Jesus Christ was the answer to this limitation. He was the answer to the law, extending salvation and grace to anybody and all who desire it. So this morning, reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith could be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus, clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to this promise. As we reflect on these words of Paul this morning, I think there are two things that we need to grasp and understand about this passage and about achieving that unity and diversity. To truly achieve unity and diversity, we must recognize the limitations and barriers that the law created. Paul addresses this in this letter. You see, the first century Christian church was faced with a daunting task. I'm not going to deny it. They were faced with a task that many didn't think they would be able to accomplish. The majority of the initial Christians came from a Jewish background. They came from one heritage, one religious group. And they were following the law that was given to Moses and the Israelites. They had been following it for centuries. This was, as you would say, the way of life for them. A holiness code that kept them ritually clean before God and was the basis for their identity. As they transitioned from Judaism to Christianity, the majority of these new followers of Christ, naturally carried over this holiness code with them. There wasn't anything wrong with it. They just brought it with them. They were so used to living by the law. It was who they were and how they lived in this world. But then the Gentiles showed up. We read last week in our sermon that the struggles that Peter had in accepting the Gentiles, now multiply that by the hundreds, because the entire Christian church in the first century had trouble accepting the Gentiles into their church. It required a vision for Peter to see last week, for him to get past this barrier. Now, for many early Christians, the arrival of the Gentiles into the church was a crisis. You heard me. It was a crisis. Now, today, we don't think about it as a crisis, but in first century Christianity, it was a crisis. What about the law? This is what those early Christians were saying. What about the law? What about this holiness code? Shouldn't they be required to follow these practices too? The old separation between Jews and Gentiles was hard to overcome. If we let them in, do they have to become like us? What created this division? What created the barriers established between the Jews and the Gentiles of the first century church? The answer is simple. It was the law. The law created this division. Paul is sharing with the Galatian churches in this letter that the law was temporary. It wasn't permanent. It wasn't a rubber stamp that kept going forever and ever and ever. Paul was saying it's temporary because something has changed it. Something has stepped in and replaced the law. You see, the Galatian church that he was writing to in this letter, they were primarily Gentiles. This is in modern-day Turkey. This is where this church existed. However, some Jewish Christians had arrived on the scene to talk to this Galatian church, and basically they said, if you're going to be a true believer of Christ, if you're going to be a true believer of his word, you must practice the Jewish holiness code that all of us, were following. And that included circumcision. This created an atmosphere of confusion and separation within the church walls. You might be thinking, well, that's a long time ago. That's 1900 years ago. You know, we don't struggle with that anymore. But you see, early on, it separated the church community between us and them. Paul's writing this letter to address this issue, this separation. You see, the law was the dividing factor for many in the early church. Fortunately, the law does not divide us today. It does not divide Jews and Gentiles today. It's no longer an issue for the Christian church today. However, we have replaced that old law with many other dividing factors in the church today. Divisive stances on social issues, political party affiliation that trumps our following of Christ, racial divides that segregates our worship hour, and the list goes on and on and on. While we do not struggle with the Jewish holiness code, the law code given to Moses and the Israelites, we have replaced it with our own personal law code. And it's different for each one of us. You see, we've replaced it, we as the church, but we individually have replaced it with our own personal law code. It's what resides in our thoughts, in our actions. It's what resides in the things that we don't really often say, but we know is deep down in our souls. And this leads to disagreement within the church and outside the church. This leads to disagreements and turmoil like we saw yesterday at Graham. Now, many of you have watched the news, you've read it. But this is the dividing factor. It's this understanding that we built a personal code that everybody has to believe what I believe or act in our way. And if they don't, then we put something in between. These issues only create barriers and limitations, preventing the church, our church, the Christian church, universal, from making a difference in the world. brings us to Paul's second point that I think we need to grasp this morning. To achieve unity through diversity, our identity must start and end with Jesus Christ and no other. As a follower of Christ, if we latch on to something else other than Jesus Christ, we are not doing what Jesus Christ told us to do. If you put any label before Christian, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Paul shared with the Galatians that the law was a temporary tutor to lead us to Christ. For Paul, Jesus Christ was the literal perfection of the law. Christ was the law. Christ was the law made in the flesh, a model of what true life in God looks like, perfected in humanity. Since Jesus Christ has come, the focus of the church should be on Him and nothing else. While the law still held value for Jewish Christians in practice, it was no longer the source or guide to the faith. You see, Jesus Christ had perfected the law. He was the law perfected incarnate. He has come and brought all things into harmony with Him as long as we turn to Him. Jews and Gentiles alike, everybody was united. Everybody was in harmony. We all have life because of this new life in Jesus. He has provided it for us. All we have to do is grasp it and follow it. Paul states that we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 27 that all who are baptized in Christ are clothed in Christ. In Paul's time, when a young man, came to age of being an adult, basically he would put aside his clothing. He would put aside what he wore before and he would put on a new toga, a brand new toga to not just tell himself but everybody around him that he was now of age, that he was a man. This represented his transition into adulthood and the responsibilities that came with it. Now, Paul used this symbolism in this letter because everybody who read it would understand that transition. And he says this indicates the transition that Christians make when they are baptized in Christ. Now, after that transition, a believer was spiritually grown and ready to embrace the responsibilities and privileges that come with this transition. But notice I said it comes with responsibility as well. It's not simply putting it on and showing it off and doing nothing about it. It's responsibility that follows it as a follower of Christ. If we're seeking unity through diversity and we're seeking unity within this new identity, responsibility follows. No longer should we be identified with the modern law, whatever modern law that we put together in our own minds or what the church has put together in their minds. No longer are we defined by that or identified by that. That has been seized by society and has been run with. We have a new identity. That new identity is a follower of Christ. It starts there. Nowhere else. Nowhere else should we start it. It starts as a follower of Christ. No matter what pressure and emphasis the world places on it, society will rush at us with. No matter what they say, there is nothing in the world that carries more steam and value than Christ does. Did you catch that? There is nothing in the world that carries more esteem and value than Christ does. You see, through Christ, there is no more us and them. There is only Him. There is no longer us and them. We've got to get past those labels and past that law we put in our mind. It's only Him. That's where it starts. This transformation should completely reorganize our thoughts and actions. No longer are we running our behavior through the lens of the world like we talked about last week, now everything that we do, everything we say, everything we think, everything action we take, it should be run through the lens of Christ, not the lens of the world. Old divisions and distinctions are no longer relevant. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. Let me add to that. There is no longer black or white. There is no longer Democrat or Republican. There is no longer upper class and lower class, native or immigrant, young or old, Baptist or Methodist. For we are all one in Christ. He is our identity. He is our unity. We've got to get rid of the lens. And I know in our minds we say, well, I will when they start. It starts with us. Me, you, individually, it starts with us. This week has the potential to be a very divisive time in our country. Talked about it last week. Yes, I believe that every individual who is able should do his or her civic responsibility and vote. However, unlike some pastors, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That's not my job and that's not my call. But I will tell you this. We all must remember that before we cast our vote or before Election Day on Tuesday, our responsibility is to see our identity in Christ, first and foremost. On Election Day, our identity should be found in Christ alone. After the election and the results come in, whenever that's going to happen, we are still defined by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and no other label. He is where we find unity. He is the one who strips down all the barriers that have created us and them. He is the embodiment of unity, and we should place our faith and trust in Him. Christ makes us one. One mind, His eyes, a compassionate heart, with arms embracing the world. He is our identity, not us and them. Let's not forget that this week or any week. Let's pray. Father, I pray for my individual limitations. I pray for each one of us as we seek to find our unity in You and no one else or no other group or no other label, because it all starts and ends with You. I pray for our country. I pray for the divisions that have been created, not just in this past week or the past month or the past 2 months, but for the past years and years, where our identity has been placed in something other than You. I pray for our leaders, past, present, and future. I pray that they recognize that true love can be found in You, and that can be embraced in You, and that we find our unity not in them and not in those individuals, but in You. But Father, I know it is going to take a lot of work. Just like the first century church who struggled with Gentile and Jew, we struggle with so many other things. May we find unity and identity in You. That's where it starts. We come to You praying that for ourselves, for our church, for the Christian Church Universal, for our community, for our state, for our nation, and for this world. We We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who brought us together. Amen. As we come to this time of the service where we are called to reflect on and think about the words that we found in Scripture or our songs or our prayers today, maybe something spoke to you for the first time. Maybe today you think, you know what? I knew I was looking for something and I didn't know what it was, but today I realize that's Jesus Christ, my Lord. If that's where you are today, come down front this morning. I will embrace you virtually and I love you in the midst of our community. If you're watching via Facebook Live today, as I've said each week, if you're watching and you felt that tug today, don't put it off. Go to your knees in prayer. Contact the church. Contact our community that we can help walk you along this path. Or maybe today you've been looking for a church home that's seeking to get past the labels of the world and back to what it means to be united in Christ. Maybe today you feel that this church is the place you need to be. If that's the case, come down front during our time, our final hymn, or contact me via this week by church, and I'll talk you through it. We'll embrace you as a community. Or maybe just today you recognize that the world's labels have just got swirled up in your minds and your approach to the world. And if that's the case, it's okay. It's okay to go to God in prayer and say, you know what? I'm embracing that aspect, that responsibility. The altar is always open. It's not my altar. It's His. But I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you this morning if that's what you need. Or if that's what you need at home, again, contact us. We are united in Him. That's what our goal is. Let's start today. Let's start today. Stand as we sing our closing hymn this morning. They'll be seated for a moment. It is my pleasure to reintroduce someone to you that's been a part of our church for many years. Keith Holland has come this morning, transfer of letter, to join our congregation, to join our church. And I met with Keith last week, the week before, I think it was, and we talked, and he talked about wanting and needing to come home. And I said, there's no other powerful testimony than that, coming home. Amen. And so we are going to embrace Keith. And Keith said, well, what can I do? I said, just worship, brother, minister, and that's what we're going to do together for many, many, many years to come. So this morning, Keith, I told you, we don't vote anybody into our church, but I do want to show you that you have people that have your support and your love today. So if you support Keith in coming to join our congregation, I'm going to ask you to stand at this time. If you are at home, I encourage you to stand as well. Keith, may you know that everyone that is gathered here today has your back. Everyone that is at home, and I can guarantee you go on our Facebook page, there'll be people saying, I'm standing in support of you. We look forward to worshiping and ministering together for many years to come. God bless you.
Thank you.
As we go from this place today, as we leave this hour, may we know that God is at work and God is bringing us together. He's bringing us home. Let us go into the world, being that united force and sharing that message of Christ wherever we go today. Let us go in peace. Y'all can virtually hug Keith from up here. So from down there, just kind of come by and wave, keep our social distance. But again, Keith, we embrace you this morning, brother. Let us go in peace.